And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall, joined in the studio today by Jaewyn Russick, our theater critic. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
Fine, thank you, Tom.
So we're going to talk about An American in Paris. It's a musical. It's at the Hippodrome. This is a musical based on the beloved Academy Award-winning movie with a Gershwin score, great music, Gene Kelly's incredible choreography and dancing. It's a little risky, I would imagine, putting that on stage. I mean, it's nuts because everybody has the iconic example here.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. A little risky, and riskier still in this case because the Broadway musical, the touring musical, not directed by someone with any Broadway experience, but by a choreographer. Granted, a world-class ballet choreographer, Christopher Wheeldon, but he had never directed a Broadway musical before. In a way, it makes sense to have a choreographer do this because music and dancing were the best things, the most memorable things about the movie. But Christopher Wheeldon has created all new, and I must say, splendid choreography for this show. The score is adapted and arranged by Rob Fisher, and it actually eliminates a number of the movie's songs, but it adds more, including some that aren't very well known. Ever heard of a Gershwin song called Liza or Fidgety Feet? They have also changed the order of some of the songs they did keep. One of the great Gershwin standards, I know you're going to recognize this, Tom, comes up much earlier in the show than it does in the movie. In the movie, it's one of the many songs that gave Gene Kelly a chance to show off his solo tap dancing. Here, it opens up into a full production number. Listen to how lush this sounds. This is the Broadway company.
You certainly can't blame me for feeling amorous. This is wonderful from the Broadway cast album of An American in Paris. So, Judy, you mentioned changes to the score and choreography. How about the plot?
Well, the program says that it is inspired by the movie. Alan J. Lerner wrote the screenplay for the 1951 movie, but it actually was kind of a thin screenplay. This production brought in playwright Craig Lucas. He's the author of Prelude to a Kiss, and he did the book for the musical Light in the Piazza. And there's several big differences. Like the movie, it focuses on Jerry, an ex-GI who falls in love with a Parisian girl, Lise, right after World War II. In the movie, two men are in love with Lise, Jerry and an aspiring French nightclub singer named Henri, who becomes her fiancé. On stage, three men are in love with her. The third is Adam, a struggling American composer. And there's another change. Lise is now a young ballet dancer, which is a very smart move for a show that is as much a showcase for ballet as it is for Gershwin's music. Another change, we meet Henri's parents, and he and they have a backstory. These are all really good changes, and they add depth to the show. Some of the songs that they kept also figure in differently, and not just the order. For example, in the movie, Gene Kelly sang I Got Rhythm with a bunch of kids, sort of street urchins. Here, it's the second number in the show, and it sets up the notion of artists working together, and it also establishes the prominence of dance in the show. Let's listen to a bit of that.
I Got Rhythm from the Broadway cast recording of An American in Paris. It's at the Hippodrome Theater. So, Judy, you said that the choreography is new. Is it similar to the choreography in the movie? I mean, for example, the movie had that big, long ballet set to the title number. How does this production handle that? song.
Well, that ballet, in fact, ended the movie. The movie ended with no dialogue. It was very unconventional then. It still is. Here, it doesn't end the show. It's the penultimate number. It still lasts 15 or 20 minutes, and it is just beautiful. It's moving. The ballet to American in Paris is the best reason to see this show. Christopher Wheeldon choreographed a version of this for the New York City Ballet in 2005. I don't know what that was like, but this is just magnificent. And this show could almost end there, but we get another scene, and we get another great Gershwin number that has been interpolated. They can't take that away from me.
Great tune.
Overall, the choreography is much more balletic. Gene Kelly's choreography was very tap-centric. Here, Kyle Robinson, who played Jerry on opening night at the Hippodrome, brings some of Gene Kelly's playfulness to his dancing, but it is still ballet. Christopher Wheeldon won a Tony for this choreography, and it's really well-deserved.
Who could ask for anything more? And speaking of that, Gene Kelly and Leslie Caron, who could ask for anything more? They starred in the movie. They are iconic shoes, literally, dance shoes to fill. So how well do their counterparts and the rest of this touring cast fill those boots?
Well, they fill them quite well. Kyle Robinson, as I mentioned, does quite a good job. Besides his dancing skills, he's a smooth singer and a very believable love interest for Lise. Alison Walsh is adorable in this Leslie Caron role. She has that gamine quality and also lets us feel a tinge of tragedy in her character. Matthew Scott plays the Oscar Levant role from the movie, Adam the Composer. And in this version, he's also the narrator. He has been wounded in the war in this adaptation. He's a dark, melancholy character, but he has a change of heart. And for my money, he experiences that right near the end. And for my money, it just doesn't ring true. I think that's more a fault in the script than in his performance. This show has a very, very large ensemble, and they're very strong. I also admired the look of the show. It really feels like Paris. This is a show about creating art. It's about the collaborative nature of art. It's about the importance of passion in art and in love. And this musical demonstrates all of that. It does what it's about. It's lovely.
Cool. Anything that makes you feel like you're in Paris, sign me up. So we got about 30 seconds. The Tony nominations were announced just a couple of days ago. What can you tell us about this year's crop of nominees?
Well, I reviewed one of the most nominated shows for this program in December, Mean Girls. That got 12 nominations. So did SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical. They're going to be competing for Best Musical against Frozen and The Band's Visit. Except for The Band's Visit, these nominees skew very heavily towards juvenile and young adult source material. I'm not sure what that means for the future of the Broadway musical. Let's hope it at least means new young audiences.
Well, it might, and that's not a bad thing, you know? I mean, Mean Girls was a very popular, that's the Tina Fey movie and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
She also had a big hand in the cultivation of this Broadway show, right?
Oh, yeah, she and
her husband did the
that's
music.
Right. And she did the book.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I don't know. a musical about that? Yeah, I don't know. All right, thanks, Judy. It's good to see you. We've been talking today about An American in Paris. That's at the Hippodrome until Sunday. And we've got a link to the details about the shows and all that stuff on our website, wypr.org/midday. So next week, Judy, we're going to talk on Wednesday, and we're going to go over to Single Carrot Theater. What are we going to see?
We are going to see an original LGBTQ+ adaptation of Peter Pan.
Peter Pan at the Single Carrot Theater. All right, well, I look forward to it, and see you then. Thanks.
Look forward to it also.
Lunch for Midday was provided today by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each and every day listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That'll do it for us today. Tomorrow, it's the Midday News Wrap. I'll be joined by the political scientist Malia Cromer and Aisha Rasko. She's the White House correspondent for NPR, as well as Andy Green, the editorial director at the Baltimore Sun. We're going to talk about the news of the week, including the latest developments in the Trump legal team's changing story about payments to the adult film actress who performs as Stormy Daniels, and the latest polls in a hotly contested race for the Democratic nomination for governor here in Maryland. That's coming up tomorrow on the Midday News Wrap. Hope you can join us then. On behalf of the entire Midday team, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now. That's coming up at the top of the hour. We want to wish a very happy birthday to Doris Sivak. She turns 95 years old today. God bless. Have a great day.